Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the first show of 2019. This is the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause. That's Bob Macko. How are you doing, Bob?
I'm good, Matty. I'm good. You know what occurred to me?
Yeah.
How did we not think to prepare predictions for today?
Mm.
It feels like this year there haven't been that many predictions in pop culture in general. And maybe it's because the news changes so often.
Yeah.
You can't even predict what's going to happen next week.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, you know, we don't know who the host of the Oscars is going to be. We don't know what celebrity is going to be ostracized because they said something mean on Twitter 3 years ago. You know, Trump is going to speak to the nation. And I mean, that should be a
disaster.
And the world. Yes. And the world. So that should be a disaster. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Really a lot of predictions.
I wonder if he stays on script.
No.
It feels like he will for a while, but then he'll start. Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. He's like, no, not going to listen to all the people telling me what I shouldn't say. That's what I should say. Like, he's going to, yeah, I could totally see that happening.
Yeah.
And then there's the argument of should it be on air? And, you know, there are people saying you're just spewing racism to everyone. I mean, as long as people do their best to ask good questions and to call him a liar, then, you know, I mean, he's the president, so, but, oh, God.
It's hard to say don't let the president speak because he's just lying.
Yeah.
In theory, I get it. I get the principle behind it, but at the same time, you go, wow, how bad are things where you say, the president's going to speak, we better not televise it.
Like, think about that sentence. Like, even at the darkest moments of Bush and when the Iraqi war and weapons of mass destruction, there was still none of the, we shouldn't let him speak because he's just going to lie. Yeah,
that's pretty dark. So there's your predictions for the year.
Yeah, that's an odd place.
I feel bad for my wife, Sandra. Her new show, she's the production executive on Mark Little's new show, Cavendish, which premieres tonight at 9 o'clock.
Oh.
Well, 9:30, actually. Okay. 9:30, well, technically.
Yeah.
So I said to her, don't worry, honey. Nobody's going to watch Trump talk about the future of the free world.
Yeah. You know, there's... Yeah, you can't win them all.
Maybe it's like the World Juniors, where it's just like a Canadian thing, and all the Canadians will rally around the CBC tonight.
No, because people that love the CBC are going to be hate-watching Trump.
So true.
You know, if we want to do little...
I just hope he's fast. As long as he can wrap it up by about 9:25, I'll be happy. So
yeah.
Watch Cavendish tonight, and if you don't watch it, PVR it.
PVR it. And remember, watch the commercials and buy the goods and services that Cavendish is selling. Speaking of buying things, right before we started... Did you say you bought reading glasses at the dollar store?
I sure did. Dollarama, to be specific.
Yeah, that's a mistake. I love Dollarama. I got one right next to the LCBO. It's a 5-minute walk, and it's used for, you know, all versions of like toilet paper, cleaning products. If you need to do some arts and crafts, it's great. If you got little kids, go buy them a toy there. They love racing around. Like,
did you say arts and crafts?
Crafts. I might have said craps. Because I'm not very good at them, but there's a couple things.
Did you build an editorial assessment of your own ability?
I'm not very good. I once had to do a pinata. It ended up being a purple ball. Just a ball, just wrapped in purple.
Nobody even asks me to do stuff anymore.
Oh,
present to wrap? Nope.
Oh, no. Oh, Amy would never let me do. She sees how I wrap.
When I wrap a present, it looks like I failed an IQ test.
Yeah, I'm not far off that as well. There's two things.
The glasses.
Glasses and seafood are two things you should never get at the dollar store.
That's a really good point. You know, somebody recommended some food they got the other day from the dollar store.
Okay, crisp, sure.
See, here was the thing, though. It was sort of sat in the middle. It was Strub's Pickled Beets. Now, they come in jars, and it's a reputable company.
Yeah.
But I'm always worried that you're going to get lobster, but it's really lobster.
Yeah.
Or here, enjoy the Beff.
Yeah, exactly.
Corned Beff.
Let me check the time on my new Ronex.
By the way, you ripped off The Simpsons. I ripped off Cheers. High five.
Go. Bam.
There you go.
But I did it in like such a way, it made it seem like it was an original thought that just came from my head.
I did too. And yeah. I felt like I did it too effectively.
Yeah.
And I thought for the people who know the reference, they'll be like, that guy totally ripped off Cheers.
But no, I don't think pickled beets, there still is.
It's too close. There's too something close. About, because it's food.
It's food.
It's food.
Yeah, it's not like sugared food.
Cheetos. Fine. I could get at the dollar store.
Absolutely.
Because it's just chemicals that have been bound up into food shape.
Yeah, exactly. But also getting back to the glasses.
Yes.
That's your eyes, Bob.
I know.
Least,
I know.
At least do what I do. I go to Shoppers Drug Mart. They might be the exact same ones, but just for peace of mind, I'm going to spend the $15.95.
But is this one of those things like the due date on milk where, you know, it's just there so nobody gets sued? You probably have an extra 4 or 5 days on your milk.
Oh, you absolutely do. You 100% do.
Right?
Yeah.
This, I feel like due dates are one of the great lies that they tell us just to A, get us to throw out more food so we have to buy more.
Yeah.
And B, so that nobody can ever go back to them and say, you made me sick. They're the anti-lawsuit machine.
Yeah.
So maybe glasses are the same way. But I agree. Because the ones I got from Shoppers were like $20.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones I got from the dollar store were $1.
Yeah. You know, it's like I can understand buying underwear from the dollar store, but not a jock strap. It's covering the same area.
But two very different purposes.
But you know, one, if you need it, you're going to need it. You don't want it to break.
All right. Well, let's just send this out to the people before we move on to talk about. I'd like to talk about the Raptors first. Usually we talk Leafs right out of the gate.
Well, let's do the Raptors
first. We'll do the let's switch it up. It's the new year. Let's just get nutty with it. But yeah, what do you think? $1 too little to spend on glasses? Let us know.
Yes.
Let us know. Go to our Instagram page.
Go to our Instagram page. How's that coming? Raptors.
All right. So we're going to get Kawhi and Kyle back. So we'll see how that goes. You know what I thought about with the Raptors? I thought about how the last three games, and we'll get to Vince coming back to Toronto in just a few moments because I'm sure you know how I feel about that. But I thought about between San Antonio, Milwaukee, and Indiana, like those are three big games. And what three wildly different takeaways we got from each game were.
Yep.
Like, or was, I guess. With San Antonio, it felt like this is the gang that can't shoot straight. And it was a disaster and everyone was depressed.
It was a total no-show.
And then against Milwaukee, it was sort of like our stars beat your star.
Yep.
And the bench was terrible. But it felt like a good old-fashioned, you know, NBA dust-up. Star versus star violence.
Yeah, it was great.
And then the Indiana game sort of was like the Raptors that we know and love. The bench was better. Kyle was distributing the ball.
It was good to have Lowry back.
It was great to have him back, and he just flowed right in there. But they felt more like the Raptors we feel good about.
Yes.
So think about the wild variety of experiences in basically a week.
Oh yeah, if you didn't know who the players were and the jerseys were just taupe, and you said that's the same team playing three different teams. Like, I don't believe you. That can't be the same team. It's a good point. And what I like is that you had the different variety of ways of doing it. I like the fact that, and also back to back, you know, the Pacers, who had the third best record in the East, and that was with, listen, Norm Powell's not going to shoot 10 for 12, but you had them winning that way without Kawhi Leonard, and you survived the 40 plus point game from Giannis the night before. So yeah, you did it in different ways. And great teams, you know, great teams aren't one knife. They're a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think when Cleveland was winning, they were basically a machete and the machete's name was LeBron.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But most teams have to be able to do stuff in different ways.
Yeah.
Although I will say, well, let's take this step by step. The San Antonio game, the shooting wasn't great and the switching on defense was poor, but the real takeaway, I thought, interestingly, was that the team afterwards was kind of letting some of the cracks show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Danny Green, Fred VanVleet, just sort of Kawhi Leonard, all sort of alluding to, we better fix this up pretty soon.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was a Nick Nurse thing.
Yeah.
That the team was starting to look at Nick Nurse and say, okay, so like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And I feel like Nurse pulled it together pretty fast. He even alluded yesterday after the other day after the Indiana game that the team was pissed off after San Antonio and they were able to take that anger
good
and channel it into good play. So this is a big test for him because when I think back to what the Raptors did in the offseason, I was totally behind, if heartbroken, by the DeMar DeRozan move.
And it felt weird seeing him there in the San Antonio right. jersey.
But intellectually, then and now, I could justify it.
Yeah.
I still wasn't sure about the Dwayne Casey move.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I felt like you're going to bring on a new guy in a very volatile situation in a win-now setup.
In the most important year of the history of the franchise.
Right. That one felt like... The other one had run its course. I'm not sure Dwayne Casey had run his course yet. Some people might disagree with me, but I thought if only emotionally to hold together a volatile situation, you need a steady hand on the wheel.
It really was like, it's funny. Everyone points to the DeRozan, Kawhi Leonard as the ballsy move by Masai Ujiri. But getting rid of Dwayne Casey, which was a rock, stability, all that sort of stuff, had been there for ages, knew the infrastructure, knew the players. And to get rid of him in a year where the team could win 60 games or if things go kaputs, they could win 20. And yeah, putting in a rookie coach. Ballsy move there, Masai. Ballsy move.
Super duper ballsy. Now, of course, he was the architect of the offense and he knew the organization well. So, and it was funny because at the time, people were like, I don't want Mike Budenholzer. He's not good enough for us. Well, he seems to be doing okay with Milwaukee.
He certainly is.
We went for the rookie as opposed to the guy who won 60 games.
Yeah.
May not have been our choice, but still, people were like, oh, we can't bring in a Budenholzer, not into this season.
Yeah.
Let's go with the career assistant with who's got a little bit of time from the D-League under his belt.
Yep. No, it's a great point. My other thought from that San Antonio game, my main takeaway, because once that game was 30-10, I'm like, all right,
it's over.
I'm done with this. I love that the tribute video they did for Kawhi wasn't just Kawhi. It was Kawhi and Danny Green. Danny Green was treated as a human shield for boos. It's like, well, if we put Danny in here, it'll make it difficult for the crowd to boo the tribute video.
That is such a great point. And it's such a great description. The human booing shield.
Yeah, that's what Danny Green was, because the crowd loves Danny Green, and they didn't want to boo him, and they're like, they see a Kawhi boo. Oh, there's Danny. Oh, I don't know what to do. I'll just watch the video. So that was smart. Very smart.
That's gold.
Yeah. Pascal Siakam, career high against Milwaukee. You know, on a night where they needed a second star. Mm-hmm. There's no Kyle Lowry, and, you know, we saw what Giannis did in that game. You needed the second star, and he's done it. And Ibaka, you know, just all over the place. That's Saturday, Sunday, Milwaukee, Indiana. Like, it gets buried because NFL playoffs were going on, and then, you know, and then the Leafs shut out Vancouver. So, you know, the Raptors were going to slip a little bit under the radar. But that is as an impressive 1-2 punch as you're going to get in the NBA. You beat the first and the third best team in the East back-to-back with one game without Kawhi and one game without Lowry.
I was worried it would be two losses. I was hopeful and somewhat confident it might be one win. I genuinely did not expect them to win both.
Yeah.
Especially when Kawhi played so much in that first game against Milwaukee that they sat him.
Yeah.
I guess there was some talk about maybe this would be when he goes back-to-back finally, but not after the kind of minutes he had to log against Milwaukee. I kind of, as much as I'm glad they beat Milwaukee, I felt great after the Indiana game and not so great after the Milwaukee game.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad they won, but Giannis was so good. It felt like he was wearing a number 23 Cleveland jersey. Does it just not feel like it's only a matter of time till people are saying you just can't get past Milwaukee and Giannis?
No, because the difference is, is Giannis is still not LeBron yet in terms of the ability to hit the outside shot. And two, the Raptors team has Kawhi. The Raptors team never had Kawhi when LeBron was dummying the Raptors. So just that stabilizing force, both offensively and defensively, that's why that doesn't worry me. I mean, yeah.
And the dirty secret of LeBron's 8 consecutive finals appearances, he never really had to face many other great players.
Nope.
During that whole stretch, how many other great players did he really... I mean, obviously...
Paul Pierce. In his, like, last year in Cleveland and then his return to Miami. Pierce was absolutely one, but not by the end. There was that moment when, in Indiana, Roy Hibbert... Remember when Hibbert was a thing?
Yeah, and Paul George.
And Paul George.
Paul George.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's never had to face the you know, that top level guy.
I just worry about a team like Milwaukee. They terrify me actually in the playoffs, because you've got that player who can go off for 50.
Yep.
And still get you 20 boards. It's insane.
Yep.
It's going to average like 40-20 in the playoffs. But they're just really well coached and they have shooters. Mm-hmm. And we watched how year after year, that was the formula for Cleveland destroying us. Incredible superstar. And then three-point shooters that are just hitting shots. Yep. Like, I'm sick of thinking back to Kyle Korver, you know, or whoever it was from Cleveland hitting those daggers.
Yeah.
And then you think
Trevor Ariza,
somebody. Yeah. Right? You know, so they're built to win in the playoffs. So they worry me. But the Indiana game was great.
Yeah. And if you, all you want.
And I called it Norm on his way back.
All I want is Pacer Powell. By that, I mean the Norm Powell 2 years ago in the playoffs against Indiana when, you know, he had that great run, which you know, probably got him overpaid a little bit. But that's what you want. You don't need 10 for 12, but what you need is if you're open, you're going to make that shot more than you're going to miss it. That's all.
I think that's great. I'm not hopeful just mm-hmm. because the NBA seems to be filled with guys who have a hot streak, and then you fall in love with them. Mm-hmm. And for the rest of the time in the league, they're okay.
Yeah.
They're okay. I hope OG's not that guy. I don't think he will be. It's a tough year for him, though. Might wind up being a lost year for him.
It could be a lost year just because his father passing. It absolutely could be. This feels like this is the lost year for OG Anunoby, and we'll know more a year from now. Or maybe somewhere in the playoffs. But yeah, this regular season, that's kind of what it feels like.
And then with, it's not even a dirty secret. I mean, the Raptors bench has not been the bench mob.
Nope.
It was really interesting, though. You know,
It wasn't going to be as good as it was last year.
It couldn't be. The approach to it is completely different. There was something, I was listening to Pascal Siakam being interviewed by Zach Lowe on the Lowe Report. Did you check that out?
No, the one with Kareem and with Bruce Arthur.
No. That was the different one. They actually had Siakam as an interview guest.
Oh, okay.
And because Zach Lowe loves Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
Loves him. And was probably one of the first sort of superstars of the industry to point at him and say, this guy, it's more than just sort of fun dunks. Like, he's really, really good. And Siakam said something really interesting that jumped out at me, which was he didn't want the bench mob back this year. He was like, I was happy that we did that, and it was great that we could go in there and cause problems for other teams.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be seen as a bench guy for the rest of my career.
No, absolutely. What was Pascal Siakam last year? A great energy bench guy. What is he now? A guy who got you 30 points against the best team in the East.
See, here's what smart fans and, you know, people make the analytics crew. I don't like that name. Let's just call it smart fans. Here's what sometimes they forget because they're so busy being factually correct is that the team is still filled with human beings, and human beings have expectations. Like Pascal Siakam, hey, do you want to be sixth man of the year? We started this Raptor season by saying who was the more likely sixth man of the year, mm-hmm. Fred VanVleet or Pascal Siakam?
Yeah.
And we both said Fred VanVleet. Pascal Siakam doesn't want to be on the bench.
No.
He wants to be a starter.
Yeah.
You could give him more minutes coming off the bench, still want to be a starter because he has been raised his whole life to see starters as better than bench players.
Yeah. There's only so many Jamal Crawfords out there.
You know Mo Williams.
Yeah.
Lou Williams.
Yeah. Mo Williams. Man, the Raptors would have been a much better team if Mo Williams was actually coming off the bench instead of playing you 37 minutes. No offense to Mo Williams, but says where you are as a franchise.
So that just really jumped out at me when we talk about the bench. Like, nobody wants to be on it. It's fun to get a bunch of young guys together with maybe a veteran as a glue guy.
Yep.
But in the end, they all want to graduate to being, they want to have Matt Devlin announce their name at the start of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And they got the Atlanta tonight, Vince Carter. Vince, you know, you did a ton and you brought more basketball to Canada and we all love you and you quit and you left the team. Get out of here.
You know, this Vince thing is killing me, man.
I love it.
It's just killing me.
I love it.
Because he is doing everything in his power to be awesome right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he doesn't care about winning.
Yeah, I hate Vince. I hate Vince, and maybe I'll never stop hating him.
Good.
And no, I know. You've always been proud of me that I'm irrational about this.
You need some irrational, my friend.
Yeah, you know. I remember how I felt when Cujo didn't resign with the Leafs and he went to the Detroit Red Wings and how betrayed I felt.
Yeah.
this is that times 50 mazillion.
Yeah.
Because he quit on the court.
Yeah.
That's the one thing you can't do in sports. The one thing you mm-hmm. can't do yeah. is not try.
Yeah, exactly. And
here we are relitigating Vince.
I know. It's awesome.
But the problem is, though, that he has rehabilitated his image everywhere but here.
Yeah. It's always going to be a complicated relationship. For people that forgave him and move on and think about the big picture of what Vince did in terms of positive influence in basketball, not only just in Toronto, but in Canada, great.
And in the league, he's blossomed into this guy who's just like a great teammate. And, you know, I was reading an article the other day, about how he was the NBA's premier player coach.
Yeah.
And he's got a podcast now with the Ringer Podcast Network. He's doing all kinds of TV, and he's good at it. He's
of course.
You know what? We're never going to get rid of him because he's going to be a broadcaster, and he's going to be good.
And
he's going to be in our rafters.
Yes, he is going to be in our rafters. Yeah, he is.
He's going to. I don't know if they're going to retire the number. They may just honor it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be in the rafters.
He is. And he's just, right now, he's sort of been like the... like the littlest hobo, just going, you know, he's in Orlando and Phoenix and Dallas and Memphis and Sacramento and now Atlanta, just traveling from bad team to bad team. He's never been a ring chaser. Say that about him, either positive or negative. He's certainly never been the guy to identify. Like he never.
He's not Gary Payton going to the Lakers.
He's not Gary Payton going to the Lakers or the Heat. He's not, you know, damn it. He was a big-time power forward for Indiana and then won a title with Golden State. Now, let's just move on because I'm not going to remember the name. But, yeah, not a ring chaser. I'll remember it right when the podcast ends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Do you want to just do impromptu prediction 2019 for the Raptors? We might as well. It's the 2019.
Impromptu prediction. They lose in six to Golden State.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I say they make it to the conference final
mm-hmm.
and they lose to Milwaukee.
Nah.
In six or seven.
They beat Milwaukee.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, they
beat them. Like this is Milwaukee's year. And the Sixers worry me too, although less now.
Are you kidding?
With Jimmy Butler, which will come up later in my game of Rank'em that I want to play with you.
Oh, Jimmy Butler. Like just you and Antonio Brown. I salute both of you. You guys are just both a bunch of assholes.
Okay.
But Jimmy Butler. Doesn't matter where he goes. Is that the right way? I'm going to just like... who the bleep are you? What have you won?
So
get out of here. I mean, you're a hell of a talent, but this is fantastic. You're just like you go to organizations, you go full Captain Caveman, just destroying things all around you. I mean, you're in Philly.
I was so happy to see that.
You're in Philly.
So happy when great. I saw there's a Woj bomb, and apparently Jimmy Butler hates his coach and the way he's being used.
Yeah. And Joel Embiid wasn't happy when Jimmy Butler got there.
Quick sidebar.
Yeah.
You know what's one of the the most overrated things that people consider a virtue?
Mm.
I'm just saying the truth.
Yeah.
I'm just calling it the way I see it.
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes with the truth, shut up.
Yeah. And also, your truth is not the truth. It's one of the things I hate, and we see it usually at award shows. I'm going to speak my truth. Your truth, by the way, Trump tonight's going to speak his truth. It's funny. you can take the most liberal actress and Donald Trump, and sometimes when they're both speaking their truth, it's like, it's not necessarily the truth. And for Jimmy Butler, yeah, it's there's a time when you just got to shut up.
You know what? Like, somebody the other day said to me, "Why, you know, you'd lost a bunch of weight, but you put a bit of it back on, eh?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. What'd you do? You want a ribbon now? What do you want, an award? Yeah.
Why do you need to say that?
Right, because people are like, I'm just saying the truth.
No, it's so...
And then it's on me to lighten up.
Yeah.
It's on me to lighten up and not be so touchy about it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
How about this?
Yeah.
Shut up your face.
Yeah, oh yeah. Also, if we're going to go down this, and Amy does...
People don't shut up enough.
People don't also...
That was my mom's philosophy in life. You know what my mom's three instructions were for life, for happiness? Shut up, lie down, and have a sandwich.
It's great.
Jeff Merrick said it at his father's funeral.
Yeah. Oh, did he really?
He did. He quoted. He said they were fine. And to quote the philosopher Francis Mackowitz, we just shut up, lie down, and have a sandwich.
Oh, that is a great philosophy. And also going to... Oh, that's great. Also, sometimes don't ask a question. Like there are times when like Amy's like, well, why don't you ask a question? I'm like, because the answer is going to just elicit sheepishness. It's like, oh... Did you go and visit mom at the hospital today? Like, sometimes I'm not going to, you know, because I know what the answer is, and it's just going to lead to an uncomfortable moment. And by the way, my mom's not in the hospital. She's in Florida. But there's times when I'm like, I won't even ask a question because I know the response is like, oh, did you go to the gym today? I mean, maybe you did. But what if you didn't? And then you have to go, no, I didn't go to the gym. And then you're going to feel bad. And you're like, oh, I guess I'm lazy because I didn't go to the gym. Sometimes I just don't ask questions.
Matt, you are you are now and always the wisest man I've ever met.
Yeah, thank you.
You want to play Rank 'em?
Yeah, let's play Rank 'em.
All right. Okay. So here's the idea. I give you three options and you got to order them. And
yeah. Well,
I think it's pretty obvious. All right. Best treat, Skittles, Starburst, M&M's.
Okay, well, M&M's are obviously number one. That's not even close.
Are they?
Yeah.
Peanut or non-peanut?
Compared to the other two choices, you could give me rat turd M&M, and I'm going to take it over the other
really?
Two. Really? I hate Skittles and Starburst.
Oh, no, no. Skittles are number one. Oh, okay, well, you finish, and then we'll debate.
Starburst two, Skittles said last.
Skittles last?
Yeah, I hate
no
Skittles.
No way. Skittles are great because they've got that amazing combination of sweet and tart.
Yeah, I'm not a big tart guy.
No, but that's the joy of it, Matt. See, the other ones are just kowtowing to the man.
Yeah.
They're so predictable. Oh, look at me. I'm sweet. I'm tasty.
Yeah.
Skittles are like that friend of yours that has just a little oomph to them. The one you go to Vegas with and you stay up till 8 a.m. Like Skittles got some bite.
Skittles got some bite. You know
what? M&M's are in bed by 11.
Yeah. By the way, Bob, what did you just say a minute ago?
What?
Shut up, lie down, and have a sandwich. That's an M&M.
Can we all agree Starburst is so overrated? Starburst tastes crap. Like if you melted a car tire down and added some sugar to it.
It's horrible.
A little bit of food dye.
Yeah. Yeah, the yeah. I'm not
no,
a fan.
No, Skittles are the best, man. Oops. When you can combine sweet and tart, that's a winner. All right. NFL playoffs.
Yeah.
Quarterback that you'd want of the ones that are still left.
Still left.
Nick Foles, Dak Prescott,
yep.
Phillip Rivers.
Of those three.
This one feels like the answer should be obvious, but I'm not sure it is.
Well, no, it's Dak Prescott is number one.
Is he?
Wait, no, sorry. Phillip Rivers is number one.
See,
sorry.
That feels yeah. like it should be yeah, number one.
Phillip Rivers is number one. Absolutely, sorry. And then it was Dak, and who was the other option?
Nick Foles.
It's Dak Prescott second. It's Nick Foles third. Nick Foles benefits from having an offensive line that is now better than the Cowboys' offensive line by all metrics. And if that field goal, which wasn't a long one, doesn't double doink, then Chicago wins that game. And then we remember that Philly didn't really do much on offense beyond, you know, generating a couple, getting like their touchdown drives were all usually aided by penalty. And then, hey, listen, that fourth down touchdown pass to Golden Tate, fantastic. Great job. But yeah, I go Foles third.
Okay, so here's the thing. I feel like you rank them in terms of quality. Of quarterback. And nobody could debate that. Phillip Rivers is the best. Dak Prescott is the second. And Nick Foles might not even be a good quarterback. He might be okay.
Yeah.
But did you know, and they have this great stat on the broadcast, maybe you picked it up, maybe you didn't, but that Philadelphia now has set a record for most consecutive playoff wins as an underdog.
Really?
And those are all Nick Foles. Now, when you're in the playoffs, it's... What you want the most is great quarterback who knows how to win.
Yeah.
What you want second most is any quarterback who knows how to win.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like Nick Foles is that guy as opposed to Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is a magnificently talented specimen who always finds a way to leave you wanting more. Is this the year that he necessarily changes that? I don't know. They didn't look that great in the wild card week.
They look good.
They looked okay.
No. They dominated until somewhere midway in the third quarter when they were just like, okay, this Lamar Jackson clown, he's not getting it done.
They put up 23 points.
Yeah.
Against the Baltimore defense.
Yeah, in Baltimore. In Baltimore. The cold.
Which is good.
Yeah.
But it's not great. It's not great. That wasn't a Tom Brady-esque performance. That wasn't a Brett Favre when he can't be stopped kind of performance. He was good. He was good.
He was good. I would give them a little more credit because they did all that scoring early on. Like, and they just took control of that game. And they took their foot off the gas. But 23 in Baltimore, and people always say, oh, West Coast team. It's like it's 10 a.m. their time to still put up 23 against that defense. Of course, on the other side, it's not like Baltimore's offense did their defense any favors by controlling the clock. Okay, no, I'm going to turn it around. They were fine. They were fine and good.
They were. So I guess my point is, and this is why I don't think it's a slam dunk. I would tend to agree with you only because I think you bet on talent.
Yeah.
But that's the weird thing about Nick Foles right now.
Yeah.
Is that nobody says, hey, I'm liking Nick Foles going into this game because he's good. They are liking it because for whatever reason, the team seems to win with them under center.
They do. It's weird.
And you know from following the NFL as long as you have.
Yeah.
That it's all in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes guys just find ways to make teams better, and that is the quarterback mystique.
The scary thing about like Philly, the part that I ooh, this team could go on a run, was a couple weeks left in the regular season when you saw, I think it's Chris Long, there's so many Long brothers in the NFL, made a shrine at Nick Foles' locker. And all the players were a part of it. And it seemed like this sort of fun camaraderie. And then the other side, which has nothing to do with Foles or Wentz, is the offensive line is healthy. And Khalil Mack, you know, had a couple moments. But, you know, they've been able to control a lot of good pass rushers over the last month
right.
as the offensive line gets healthier and healthier. So that's a big part of it as well.
That's a great point, too, because how many times have we seen in the playoffs it comes down to who can score enough points while their pass rush disrupts the other team?
Yeah. Well, why do you think everyone right now is worried about Indianapolis? Because their offensive line is giving Andrew Luck all day to throw.
I didn't think they would this year. You remember in the beginning of the year, we actually debated whether Andrew Luck or Sam Darnold would have the better year?
Yeah. And the Colts started 1-5. But, man, they're rookies on the offensive line. Like, they've allowed 18 sacks. And Marlon Mack looked good. Like, I knew the. In fact, I went 4-0 with my picks. I said, take all the underdogs. They will all either win or cover. And I was 3-4 there. And the only one I was wrong about, Seattle, well, if they had, you know, let Russell Wilson do more, they would have won that game.
I got a couple more rankums.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but the Chicago Bears need to be discussed.
Oh.
A little. You were with your brother Josh, your twin brother Josh.
Yeah, he's a Bears fan.
And he's such a Bears fan that he actually used to run a flag of the Bears up the flagpole, literally at your island during your NFL draft weekend.
That is true.
So the Bears flag literally flying.
Yeah.
How did he take it?
Did
he cry?
No. No.
Did he break something?
No. It's the good thing about when you have children. Your passion for your team goes down a little bit.
Like your testosterone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He needs to weightlift so he can throw the remote again.
He was like, trust me, we were bummed out. I was there watching it and, you know, we're definitely bummed out, but he was dealing with a bit of a cold, you know, because it was the last days before the kids go back to school. So just those 2 weeks, man, you parents, having the kids around all the time, that must be draining.
That and all the bread and cheese, you're almost dead.
Yeah,
by the second week of January.
It's my January sweater month. So he was 15 years ago, much more rage filled than what he was, but just what a devastating loss that was.
So this is totally non-scientific.
Yeah.
And as you know, I didn't follow the NFL that closely this season. So most of my observations are non-scientific. Sometimes when you lose, do you not feel like an organization is going to be haunted by this?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Did that not feel like a what do they do next year kind of loss?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's if they get off to a slow start next year, the double doink is going to get brought up all the time. If they get back to the playoffs next year, the double doink is going to be brought up. The only way to exercise this demon is a good regular season next year and at least one playoff win. Is going to be required.
You make a great point about the fast start, too, because nobody expected Chicago to be a 12-4 team. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
I thought Green Bay was going to be the best team in the North.
Yep.
That didn't work out. Or Minnesota.
I thought Minnesota. Absolutely.
So Chicago felt like, okay, well, they're transitioning from being a terrible team to, you know, they should, if they're a 500 team this year.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You know, that's progress.
Good for them.
Nobody expected this. And it might just be one of those flash-in-the-pan seasons. And everyone points to the signing of or the trading for Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
And so they should, because it obviously changed things. But I don't know, man. Like, if they went back to being an 8-8 team and missing the playoffs next year, would you be shocked?
I wouldn't be shocked, but I expect them to be a 10-11 win team next year because Khalil Mack is in his prime. Because they've got a lot, Akeem Hicks, they got a lot of the rookie linebacker, Smith. They've got a lot of good players. And then they got, you know, they got Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard, so they got some good running backs. You know, the big thing for them is, A, find a receiver. Because, you know, the injury, they had some injuries at the receiver position, and you can't be relying on Taylor Gabriel. If you can find one legit, doesn't need to be a Julio Jones, but one good receiver. And if Mitch Trubisky, he's going to have to take another jump. He had some great moments, but he had a lot of lousy moments. He's got to improve his accuracy. It feels like they should be a 10 or an 11 win team.
Right. We'll get back to Mitch Trubisky in a second, but I want to do this one because this one's for you, my friend.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco does not play, despite the fact that they had negative passing yards well into the fourth quarter in a playoff game under Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
It was almost... Now, because of the comeback, history won't remember it that way.
And
it,
yeah. And
but that, there was a brief period of time where this looked like a historically bad game.
They went 2 hours without completing a pass.
Insane, right?
Insane. Lamar... And it's weird. There is a real force. I think people are overcompensating. They really want Lamar Jackson to work. And I think it goes back to when Bill Polian said he should be a wideout. And then everyone's like, oh, that's an old white man telling him that a black guy can't be quarterback. Shame on. And all of that. And so I think then people were like, they were unified around Jackson. Plus, you know, the idea of Lamar Jackson becoming a star is great because he was awesome at Louisville. And he was actually, he was a decent passer. And we all want to see it succeed.
Well, and there's also something interesting about the Swiss Army knife guy, to use that metaphor from earlier. Like, remember Cordell Stewart?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody rooted for Cordell Stewart.
Loved Pete Cordell.
How could you not, though? Because he could do so many things. So if this kid can learn how to pass and he can run like that,
that'd be great.
It's exciting for the league. It's good for the league. But Joe Flacco's sitting there with the helmet in his hand, giving the kid notes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Talk about an audition for your next team.
All right. Here's what that said to me. I was actually fine with them not going to Joe Flacco because it was Lamar Jackson who got them there. Also, what that says to me, and I saw this on Twitter, it made sense. John Harbaugh's not going anywhere.
Right.
Because if Harbaugh was worried that he could get fired if they lose, then you get desperate. Then you maybe throw in Flacco. They didn't. They said, nope, I'm going to go with this with you throughout the game because you're my quarterback next year. So you're going to have to learn what this is all about.
Which means Joe Flacco will not be their quarterback next year, which brings me to my rankum. And this is a rare time when I have four options. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, the New York Football Giants, or other. Where's Joe Flacco going to play next year?
I don't think it's going to be Tampa because I think there's some contract stuff with Jameis Winston where they're going to pay him a lot. I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to knock him out.
Be your fourth one. That'll be your personal best.
Yeah. Next, I'm going to knock out the Giants for personal reasons.
Because you just don't want to deal with it?
I don't want to see him there.
You know you might.
Jacksonville makes sense, and you know they've got all these other parts, but Flacco might not be good anymore. He just might be bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go other.
Denver?
What's that?
Maybe Denver?
Bob, I'm going off the board here.
Oh, don't say Buffalo.
Nope.
It's not going to be Buffalo.
Nope. No.
What?
The Calgary Stampeders.
Oh!
Bo Levi Mitchell's going to hook up with an NFL team, and Calgary, with that infrastructure, maybe they can rehabilitate Joe Flacco.
What so
I'm going to go with the Stamps.
Okay, interesting. Matt, CFL.ca's Matt Cause goes off the board.
CFL.ca's.
What time? How much time do we have left? Because we have a lot to get to, my friend. A lot.
We got about 18 minutes.
That's it? Okay. Do you want to do Leafs? Do you want to do a top five? I got a couple top fives I threw together.
Let's do a top five. We'll get to the Leafs. I have some big picture thoughts, but... let's do a top five, then we'll get to
all right, so Golden Globes are on the other night.
Yeah.
You know what? It's fine. It's whatever. But Bohemian Rhapsody wins for Best Drama.
Yeah.
Now I'm confused by this because I had no intention of going to see it. But do I have to take this movie seriously now for award season?
It's a fun movie.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a fun movie. Now, I can't fully comment because I still need to see KK Klansman.
Mm-hmm. Black Klansman.
Black Klansman. Yes, sorry.
Right.
So I got to watch that. And I have to see Vice. I saw Bohemian Rhapsody. He's great in it, and it's a nice, fun movie. There's not a lot of meat to it. So it's well done fluff.
And that's exactly how I perceived it. And I didn't necessarily, like, I wouldn't not watch it.
No,
because I like
it.
The band and it's fun. But it's just if for award season though, you're trying to see the best movies because you want to know who am I really pulling for.
Yeah.
Right? Who are the two or three best films that, you know, I gotta make decisions about here. All right. So in that spirit though, I did my top five best musician biopics.
Ooh.
You ready?
All right.
Number five. Bob Dylan, I'm Not Here. Now, it's not actually Bob Dylan's not in it, but have you ever seen that one?
I haven't seen it. It looks like a tough watch.
Oh, no, it's great.
Is it?
It's fantastic because they have different actors playing Bob Dylan at different times in his life. So Cate Blanchett plays him, Richard Gere plays him, Heath Ledger. Fantastic. I highly recommend it to anyone.
Okay.
It is not predictable.
Okay.
Number four, a Clint Eastwood movie, The Bird, the story of Charlie Parker.
Yep.
Once again, maybe not necessarily a great movie, but I remember crying at the end of it. So if you cry at the end of a movie, it's doing something right.
It's doing something right.
Number three, Coal Miner's Daughter, Sissy Spacek, and the story of Loretta Lynn. And Tommy Lee Jones, as her husband, is so good. Mm-hmm. Terrific movie. Highly recommend.
It is now. It is good. I will say about your list.
And she sings.
It's a pretty hipster list.
Ah, come
they're
on.
All good movies. I'm not come saying they're on. Not good movies.
Come on. What am I going to put? Ray? What am I going to do? Ray? And like Jamie Foxx's impersonation of Ray Charles?
He did a good job.
Yes. You know what? We'll talk about... Okay, let's get into this now. What makes a musician biopic great? This is the trick. Mm-hmm. You have to be enough like the musician so that it's a credible performance.
Yeah.
But not so much like the musician that it feels like you're doing a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Okay.
You can't be too much like it or it feels like you're hokey.
Okay. Okay.
Weird. And I thought he was hokey.
Okay. You've got two spots left. They're better. There's one movie that better be there, but.
Well, you're not going to like this one.
Okay.
Control. The story of Ian Curtis and Joy Division. Shot in black and white, Manchester. Huh. Okay, yeah, you're not going to like it. Anyway, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Go check it out. And number one, Amadeus.
Mm.
Amadeus, 1984, Milos Forman, Tom Hulce as Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. My family, me and my sister, watched Amadeus every Sunday morning for a year. I have literally seen that movie 50, 60 times.
And it's the reason why I got rid of Netflix years ago. Netflix first came out. Because they didn't have Amadeus, and Netflix said, all the movies you want. And in the first movie I wanted to watch was Amadeus, because I've never seen it. It's one of the few Best Picture movies from like 1980 onwards I haven't seen. And it wasn't there. By the way, where was Joaquin Phoenix?
And Walk the Line.
And Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, it was honorable mention.
No. That was two biopics in one movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. It did double up. Honorable mention. I thought about it. It was really good. There's really that great good. Scene in Folsom County Prison. That's the way the whole movie starts is really, really good. No, it was good, but just not quite good enough. Like, it wasn't good enough to bump anything off the list, Matt.
All right. I like the Amadeus.
You didn't see that coming, did you?
I didn't see that coming, and I definitely want to see that
movie. It's kind of more a Salieri's movie.
Yeah.
In a way. It's the story of Salieri.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good.
Yeah.
All right, we should probably sell some. Are we gonna pay some bills here, Maddie?
What are you talking about, Bob?
No, here we go.
Pay some bills? What do you mean? Like, that's ridiculous. I don't pay bills. You know what I do, Bob? I tell stories. That's what I do. I'm a storyteller, Bob. Kind of like Neil Diamond. I was actually just about to do these reads like Neil Diamond, but I would crash and burn. Right now, Bob is eating some almonds, and I want to tell you about my friend, Jeff Pollock. He is our lawyer. He should be your lawyer. This is a guy. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story. He's driving with his family to Florida. Imagine driving with your family to Florida and you got kids in the car. That is death. Still didn't stop him from getting on the speakerphone and talking to some of his clients. I mean, at that point, you're doing everything you can to not jerk the car off the I-95. But there was Jeff Pollock. Why? Because he loves his clients and he treats his clients like family. And he will make the law and make all that just more less intimidating. And just you will feel more welcome. So he's our lawyer. He should be yours. Seriously. You need a will, a litigation, state's trust, corporate commercial, whatever law. JeffPollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. JeffPollock.com. 416-777-0088. 416-777-0088. He's our lawyer. He should be yours.
Can you do Seat Giant? I'm still chewing.
All right. Next up, Seat Giant. If you want to see a show, here's a show don't see. Watching Bob eat peanuts. But if you want to see something else, like my girlfriend, she's going to go see Come From Away. Going to see that tomorrow. Where you get your tickets? SeatGiant.ca. And the great thing is it's Canadian-owned, it's Canadian-operated, and it's in Canadian dollars. No more. Hey, this ticket's only $53. Wait a minute. What's that USD? Oh, damn you is what that D stands for because it's in U.S. bucks, and now you got to do the conversion. Plus, use the discount code. I've used it. Bob and Matt, use that discount code at checkout. You will save a percentage. We get a little bit of that money, which is great because putting up the podcast, it ain't free. You got to pay. There we go.
So do you want to do Leafs or do you want to do dot, dot, dot?
I'll just do one thing on the Leafs.
Okay.
You know,
because the truth is there's not a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Move Nylander to the fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a little tough love. Against the Preds and against Tampa, the Leafs weren't that, they didn't look that great. Except for the game against Nashville last night, you know, there was some post-hit by Matthews. There was the offsides penalty that, I don't know, that should have been called. But yeah.
And it was 4-0, but it was 4-0 late.
Yeah.
It was close for most of the game.
Yeah.
And they had some bad breaks. And they had a third, you know, their third string goalie.
Yeah.
Although he actually played quite well. And
he did.
But Rene was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Played very well.
Yep.
I actually thought the Leafs weren't as bad last night as the score indicated. I think people panicked because they were shut out and because they gave up four. But they weren't as bad against Nashville as it looks. And they weren't as good against Vancouver as it looked.
Yeah, because no Pettersson for Vancouver. And
So I kind of feel like right now with the Leafs, they're just such a weird team to talk about. Because what do they need? They need health. They need rest. They need depth.
But
are they going to get new bodies? I don't think so.
But health has not been an issue. Like
it kind of has.
Tavares, Marner, Riley, Kapanen, Kadri, Marlowe, Gardner, Brown, Hainsey have played in every game.
Austin Matthews missed a third of the season.
I know.
Freddie Anderson and their backup goalie are out.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it wasn't health, William Nylander missed two-thirds
but
of the season
not
so
health.
Far.
Like, and
okay, but let's just say for argument's sake, he was not in the line.
I don't think health is as big a factor as some people. Because, yes, the headlines is Anderson and Matthews. But you look at so many other players on this team who have not missed a game.
I actually think health going forward is the bigger issue.
Yeah.
Because we know that this is not an organization that loves to rest its stars. No, let me rephrase that. You're right. They don't rest their old players as much as they should.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Hainsey and Marlowe should probably get the night off. They're never going to give Marlowe a night off. Not that consecutive streak. That's never going
to
happen.
No, but even just like to... You know, we all love the story of Patrick Marlowe. I think we're all quietly inside and our little voices getting a little tired of him holding back that second line whenever he plays with Tavares and Marner.
All right, but he's getting on the third line. You know, he's been with Kadri and Kapanen.
I like to see him down there. It's hard to justify for $6 million. I know he brings stuff to the table, and I don't want to turn this into a Bob bitches about Patrick Marlowe. I've said it plenty of times.
Yeah.
We all know how I feel about it.
Well, that's all, yeah.
Right. Let's just move on. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Not very sporty, but I think you'll probably like that. Okay. It's a sorry comment that I get irritated when a cash machine doesn't have the tap option and I have to either swipe or insert.
Oh, no.
Ukrainian food is built to make you full. Sour cream is a Ukrainian amuse-bouche. I just want the NFL to let me believe in a young quarterback, Lamar Jackson, Mitch Trubisky. Now what? Patrick Mahomes, you're our only hope. And finally, Bohemian Rhapsody wins the Golden Globe for best drama. I guess I got to see it now.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot. We kind of talked about that last one.
We kind of talked about that one. Go see it. You'll have fun. It's a toe tapper. It may not be a thinker, but it's a toe tapper.
All righty then. All right. So I know which one you're going to talk about. So let's just dive right in.
Like how technology is just making us so lazy. And the thing is, it's insidious. You know, the first time you had tap, you probably inserted and someone said, oh, you can tap. And you're like, whatever, tap, insert, no big deal. And then slowly get comfortable with it. And then next thing you know, you're just tapping like crazy. And there might even be the little sign on it that says no tap available. And you're still tapping. I mean, this technology is making us lazy, Bob.
All right. So a couple things. First of all, it's so much nicer to tap.
I know.
You don't have to press all the buttons. I don't have to free up my hand.
There's like seven buttons you've got to hit.
Yeah, I agree. It's not like it's onerous.
Yeah.
But still,
you're not like
my
Matthew.
Hands are filled with bags from the laundry or from groceries. I don't want to press the buttons.
Bob, you're not like Matthew Broderick from War Games where you're sitting there, you know, hitting all the buttons, okay? All right, continue.
Would you like to play a game?
Oh, God, we could go down to War Games normal.
All right, we won't do it. Yeah. We won't do it.
Your wife?
But yes,
get out.
All right. All right. But here's the thing. Don't you find that when you see a machine and it doesn't have the tap option, and then there's the handwritten note that's taped onto the bottom of it that says no tap, that it makes you like you look down on that machine?
Yes.
And the store because of it?
Of course.
It's like, I got a cracked iPhone.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get a new one because it's just a crack in the screen.
Yeah.
But I can see people who are really into their phones look at it.
Yeah.
And they feel like, they think less of me.
Bob, I deal with that every day with my BlackBerry.
Right. So you've been through this kind of shaming.
Yeah.
And I feel like I do this with tap machines. Mm-hmm. Like, I think less of the store if they have the no tap option.
Yeah.
Like, this is archaic somehow. It's the Moneris one. Mm-hmm. You even get to know the different brands.
Oh, my God. You're in a different place than I am with that. A couple thoughts. First, you know what I miss?
What?
And this is one thing that America kicks our ass about, is when you go to a restaurant and, oh, do you want me to bring you the machine? And then they have to bring you the machine, and then you got to fill it out. And the server, you know, they try not to look at it, so they have to be like a couple feet away, but they don't want to be too much. And it, like, I love the old way where at the end of the meal, take my credit card. And then they bring me the little, you know, the bill in the little container, and then I just flip it open and I just sign it and we move on with our lives. It is so much more adult. And it's just so much a proper way of doing it.
All right. So two thoughts on this.
Yeah.
It's always a drag when the server brings you the bill before you finished eating or when you've just wrapped up because they want to get rid of you and get that turnover going.
Yep.
That said, man, it drives me nuts when someone comes and it's a crowded restaurant and they drop the bill and they walk away and they don't have the machine handy in case you're ready to pay.
Yeah.
Because now I got to wait for you to have 10 minutes to come back and I'm just sitting here waiting to pay.
Yeah. When
like we could have done this in 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
But I got to wait 10 minutes for you to show up again.
Yep.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah. And it makes no sense. Also for the server, why are you doing it like that? Have the machine ready. But I would love to go back to the old school way where I just give you the credit card. Then you bring back the little casing with the receipt in it, and then we move on with our lives.
Okay, so here's a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Your server doesn't write down your order, and you're suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Do you say, do you need to write that down, or do you just shut up?
Nope, I just shut up.
Now, what happens if they get something wrong?
By the way,
and they didn't write it down?
Then, at that point, then we address it. But remember at the top when I say, I'm not going to ask questions because it's just going to make things sheepish. Here's a case I don't do it, and I see what you're saying. But here's, when they don't write it down, I note it in the back of my head. I'm like, okay. Now, when they bring it, you know, but the thing is, if they bring it, they screw up. I'm not going to, well, I guess you should have wrote it down.
Why not?
Well, because now.
Why not? You're paying for something and they brought you the wrong thing.
Because now, in their mind, I'm the douchebag.
And so what?
They're the ones.
What, are they your friend?
No, but they're in control of my food. What if there's more food coming? What's going to happen?
See, that's
to the
problem, right?
Yeah.
Is you never know what happens behind the kitchen door.
You just wait till the end and you adjust your tip accordingly.
Right. Nope, that is true. You've always been good about how to be sneaky. Revenge.
Yeah. Full. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. You're good like that because you don't want to have somebody's special sauce, right? Like they lift up the burger and
Or none of that.
The bun.
Or everything comes a little bit late. Also, you know, sometimes if you're ordering wine by the glass at nice restaurants, if you've got a good rapport, that 5 ounce glass becomes 6 ounce.
Oh, God. You're such a. That 5 ounce glass becomes a 6 ounce. And you look so self-satisfied right now.
People can't see it.
Oh, God, but they know.
They know. Sour they cream, know. Bob. Sour cream.
Ukrainian food is built to make you full. Sour cream is a Ukrainian amuse-bouche. Mm-hmm. I was at Ukrainian Christmas Eve the other night.
Yep.
We had a big dinner, and I looked at the table, and I thought there's literally no diet option.
Oh, no.
And there never is.
Never is.
This is 100% true. The Ukrainian word for cabbage rolls is holubchi. And someone once asked for a holubets, and I was like, what's that? And they're like, oh, it's cabbage roll. I'm like, no, that's holubchi. They're like, no, that's plural. I had never heard the singular of cabbage roll in 40 years. No one had ever used the word for one cabbage roll.
Yeah, it's like no one has one beer when they go to a bar.
Right.
Same kind of thing here.
100%.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, like, there's no, I don't know if there's another culture that values fullness as much as the Eastern European.
If there is, I can't think of one.
Because I married into an Italian family.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of food.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of light options.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can nibble
at
the Italian table.
Mm-hmm.
You can nibble. Now, of course, it's this relentless onslaught of, you know, like it takes
They'll get you.
They'll get you, you know, victory through volume.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, there's pasta and carbs and all that. But the thing about the Eastern European diet is there's only things that fill you.
Yeah.
Only. Even the soup has beets in it.
Yeah. By the way, that's got to be tough. You've just finished the Christmas.
And sour cream.
Yeah, the Christmas holidays.
You have beet soup. You know what Ukrainians do with it?
What?
They put in sour cream.
Yeah, of course, because that's not heavy enough. Wait a minute. Is that broth and vegetables? We gotta Ukraine this up a little bit.
So happy post-Christmas to everybody.
Yeah.
But I hit the wall. Mm. I hit the wall. I couldn't even have the Black Forest cake at the end. It had been this eating self-indulgent period for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I just hit the wall the night of January the 6th at the table. It was like my body said, no more.
But also because it's Black Forest cake. Like if it was tiramisu, if it was an Italian thing, I'm like, yep. Even if I'm full, put a little on my plate.
Couldn't do it. Yeah. You know what? You just get to a point where there's no room left.
Yeah. Yep.
We're over the vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you see an elevator and it says it can only have 11 people and you count like 16 people in the elevator?
Yeah.
It was like that.
Yeah. And don't get in. Same thing with the subway. There's nothing worse. The subway's packed and someone's like trying to get in. Do the math. If that subway's full and it's rush hour, the next one is coming in 2 minutes.
Now, where this is different is the streetcar. Because you can wait.
You can see. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You might, if you don't jam yourself into the streetcar,
yeah,
it could be 15 minutes before you see another one, especially if you're on the 501 on Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Sporadic intermittent service.
I would go down this rabbit hole, but we're out of time.
Damn.
I know. Because we could easily go.
I didn't even do my top 10 for next time, Maddie.
Ooh.
I didn't because I had an extra one.
Yeah.
2019 is the year that Blade Runner is supposed to take place in.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I did my top five movies about the future.
Okay, love it.
Yeah, we'll do it next time, though.
Yeah, next week, top five movies about the future. Man, I can't wait to see. Where's Running Man on that list?
Not in there.
Oh, no!
But you know what? That may have been a mistake.
Yeah.
That may have been an oversight. Maybe that sneaks in at 4 or 5, because okay. That is pretty good. Can you name all the villains?
Nitro.
Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero.
Who was the electricity guy?
That was Nitro.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, that
Sorry.
Was Nitro. And then what was Jesse Ventura?
Was it Captain America?
Captain Marvel.
Captain something.
The show
coming out of retirement.
Yeah, I know. Got out of retirement. Big mistake. Bob, happy 2019. Looking forward to next week.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.